Welcome to a new episode of the Oncology Peer Review on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, February 28th. This week, I spoke with Dr. Ofer Sharon, CEO of OncoHost, about some interim results from the PROPHETIC trial assessing how patients with non-small cell lung cancer respond to immunotherapy. Sharon first described OncoHost and the mission of this clinical stage precision oncology company. Then, we touched on the key details of this research. Specifically, we discussed the PROPHET diagnostic platform that's at the center of this ongoing multi-center clinical trial, as well as what comes next for this research and OncoHost. Take a listen to Dr. Sharon discuss the key details from this research. You mentioned OncoHost. Could you talk a little bit about what that is and really just kind of provide a nice background of this organization?
Yes, of course. So OncoHost is a diagnostic services company. We are in the field of precision medicine, in oncology, obviously. The company was founded in 2017, and the science behind our work is coming out of the Israeli Institute of Technology, the Technion, from the lab of Professor Yuval Shaked. We are headquartered in Tel Aviv, and now just recently opened another office in Cary, North Carolina. OncoHost is basically developing a tool that combines proteomic analysis in the patient plasma with machine learning and bioinformatic components that basically tries to answer three clinical questions for the clinician. And that is, will the patient respond? Why does resistance occur? And what should be the next step in treatment? The analysis, as I mentioned, is done in the plasma. We take one blood test before treatment. And basically, the report that we are providing back is two parts. The first part is dealing with the first question, the question of response and prognosis, where we might basically try to give the clinician a trajectory for the first 12 months of treatment for the patient. So in the report, we will have response probability for the first 3 months, 6 months, and then probability for durable clinical benefit at 1 year. We are also providing hazard ratios for overall survival and progression-free survival. In the second part of the report, we are trying to analyze the resistance mechanisms that we are able to identify in the patient plasma, identify significant resistance pathways, biological processes that are taking part in the resistance of the tumor to the anti-cancer treatment, and identify resistance-associated proteins, actual proteins and the associated drugs, approved drugs or drug in clinical development that may target those proteins. So basically, if you want to think about the product, it's almost like a navigation system that tells the clinician, this is where your patient is going, and these might be the next steps for your patients. The idea is to provide a layer of information that currently clinicians do not have.
And so with the PROPHETIC trial, before we get into like the nuts and bolts of that, I was hoping you could just discuss a little bit what the catalyst was for launching this trial, really what the motivation was behind this study.
Yes. So, you know, very early on, we figured out two things. First of all, in this field that we operate in, the field of AI, big data, machine learning, there are not many companies that are running prospective multi-center clinical trials. A lot of the information is being analyzed and gathered using retrospective samples that exist. For us, it was a challenge. It was a challenge because when we started working on a product, we actually required two blood tests, one before treatment and one immediately after the first treatment, because we are dealing with a phenomenon that is called host response, that is the physiological reaction of the body to the anti-cancer treatment. So it was very hard for us to find large enough databases or samples or blood samples that contain the information that we required, namely before and after treatment. So the only option was to open a clinical trial that will allow us to do that. I also wanted, you know, to run this the proper way, have a longitudinal clinical trial, working with clinicians, develop a protocol, ask the questions and collect the data in a way that will allow me in the future, obviously, to publish it, but also potentially to submit it to regulatory authorities. So we started to design the protocol together with our scientific advisors. And today we are open and recruiting patients in over 35 sites.
So could you walk me through the protocol specifically, you know, the type of patient you recruit, and then after we kind of set that baseline, we can get into the interim results a little bit.
Sure, definitely. Here, this is a prospective trial that is basically to collect blood samples from patients. The patients that we are including in the trial currently are patients that are diagnosed with late stage non-small cell lung cancer, late stage small cell lung cancer, and melanoma. Our main focus in this trial is immunotherapy. So all of our patients are being treated with immunotherapy or immunotherapy as backbone, either in first line or in second line and above. For melanoma specifically, we are also looking at the neoadjuvant setting. And the trial is it's a very, I think, interesting design in two ways. First of all, it is a modular design. So basically, as we move on, we can add more and more indications to the trial because the concept is always going to be the same, analysis of plasma samples for patients treated with immunotherapy. So indications can be added. And indeed, small cell was added recently. And we are planning on adding more indications moving forward. Secondly, this is not an event-driven trial. So as such, I don't have to wait until a certain cutoff point. I don't have to wait, until I analyze the data. So what we do is we collect a large enough cohort of patients for the requirements of our algorithm, divide cohort into training and validation sets, which are completely separated. And then we can ongoingly develop our algorithm as we move forward with this trial. Some of the endpoints, of course, are event-related, but at least for the sake of prediction, response prediction, we can do that continuously as the trial evolves.
And so as far as I understand, the first set of interim results were announced late or the middle of last month. Could you walk me through a bit of what you found and the significance of those
points? Yes. This is, I'm not going to go real deep into the numbers here because we are going to publish it later this year in a peer-reviewed journal. But what we did, and this was a very important milestone for the company. First of all, we moved from two blood tests to one blood test. So instead of taking two blood tests, one before treatment and one after, we are still collecting in the trial, but for the sake of the algorithm, this was the first cohort where we actually analyzed tested the algorithm only for one blood test taken before the start of treatment. That was one key important thing. This was a cohort of 250 patients. All of them non-small cell lung cancer, all of them treated with immunotherapy. And basically this was the validation of the algorithm that was developed over the last 2.5 years, over almost 1400 samples. So the way it was done, the algorithm was trained on about 2/3 of the patients. And then we have a separated cohort that we didn't touch. The algorithm and the R&D team were blinded to the outcomes of the patients. And it was, a one touch, one go kind of event. We trained the algorithm, locked the version of the tool, and then brought in the new cohort where we did not know what the outcome of the patients was, and tested the ability of the algorithm to provide us with those response probabilities I mentioned earlier, 3, 6, and 1 year, on this cohort of patients. And the results we got were very good in terms of the accuracy. Again, I won't go into the numbers, but I will tell you that we are performing much better than the existing biomarker.
Perfect, and I think that transitions nicely into my next question, which kind of with this platform and taking into consideration the results that you did see, how do you anticipate this platform will impact treatment for patients moving forward over the next 5 years or so?
If we look at the current, clinical trial, even if we focus only on phase three clinical trials for immunotherapy in non-small cell lung cancer patients, the numbers are staggering. The number of potential combinations that people are trying to look at, either pharma companies, independent research group, investigators, we are talking about hundreds of clinical trials. In a recent analysis that we ran, there are over 30 clinical trials of different combination only in phase three currently. So if you're talking about 5 years from now, we are looking at a situation where a clinician will have, in front of him, let's say 10, maybe even more potential combinations to choose from at day one, right? And we know that the existing biomarkers are not doing what they are supposed to do in terms of the accuracy. This is a fact. This is not something that I say. How are we going to decide? How are we going to choose between those different options? That's one. Two, how are we going to move forward once we exhausted the first line of therapy? What is going to be the next line of therapy? We are talking about hundreds of potential combinations. Even only a fraction of those will come to the market. Still tens of options for the clinicians to choose from. I think that this is exactly where the product is going to fall into clinical use, into clinical utility. We would like to help the clinician to guide his decisions based on the dynamic map of resistance that is relevant to his patient.
I think that's a great point and one that would be great to wrap up on. So to finish our conversation, is there anything that you think is really important about OncoHost, about the platform, about the trial that you think we haven't touched on enough you want to share?
No, I think you asked all the questions. I do like to emphasize a couple of things. First of all, a lot of people that we talk to say, we see a lot of companies that are dealing with AI and precision medicine. I think that it's important to differentiate ourselves from the crowd. I think that we are very advanced. First of all, in terms of the number of samples that we've tested. Second, in terms of the structure or design of the clinical trial, we are not cutting any corners on the data here. This is true training and true validation, no cost validation, no mingling with the data. And the third point for us, I think that we find a very elegant way to deal with some of the key issues of AI in medicine and in clinical utilities. And that is the issue of false discoveries. We developed a very interesting framework. It works really nicely. And most importantly, it prevents some of the biggest mistakes that we face in this field of AI in medicine.
Perfect. Well, that's all I had for you, Dr. Sharon. Thank you so much for your time and the insight on this trial and the platform. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you for the time and thanks for listening.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcast. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network. Thanks so much for tuning in this week, and we'll see you again next time.